continued, quote, if either of the Weinstein brothers had signed, this group would have not only the power to shut down all film production, but to form a minion, minimum adult Jews required for a communal religious service, with enough Fiji water on hand to make a mikveh, a ritual purification and cleansing bath that Orthodox Jews take on certain occasions, as before Sabbath or after menstruation. The person they were yelling at in that ad was SAG President Alan Rosenberg, a Jewish Zionist. The scathing rebuttal to this ad was written by entertainment super agent Ari Emanuel, Israeli Jewish Zionist. Joel Stein, Los Angeles Times opinion, How Jewish is Hollywood? Quote, the assertion that Jews control Hollywood, the media, banking, and finance, among other things, is an anti-Semitic canard which dates back more than 70 years to an anti-Jewish campaign waged in the 1920s, unquote. That was Abe Boxman, the Zionist Jew and head of the Anti-Defamation League, in an ADL publication entitled Alleged Jewish Control of the American Motion Picture Industry. The ADL is a Zionist, pro-Israeli, and extremely powerful lobby which labels anything anti-Israel or anti-Zionist as racist and anti-Semitic, despite the fact that Zionist Israelis are not Semitic, but in fact Khazarian in origin and are occupying stolen Palestinian land. Thus, any healthy information or debate is stopped dead in its tracks and immediately labeled racist or politically incorrect. Quote, as a fan, I thank you. As your producer, I thank you. As a member of the Jewish tribe, I thank you. Are you kidding me? This movie is a fucking Jewish wet dream. That was Lawrence Bender, co-producer of Inglourious Basterds and Zionist extremist to Quentin Tarantino. Bender is, quote, a prominent liberal and pro-Israeli activist. Inglourious Basterds brings together his greatest passions, movies, politics, and a cherished Jewish identity? Bender has lavished his political clout to support causes he cares about. The Jewish Journal, August 18, 2009, article titled The Other Avenger, Tarantino's producer Lawrence Bender. This movie, by the way, is disgusting, extremely and unnecessarily violent and revolting, which is apparently the cause he cares about, as it subverts society and Christianity and spreads Holocaust lies. Quote, I have to tell you how excited I am to take this movie to Israel. Unquote. Lawrence Bender, co-producer of Inglourious Basterds and Zionist Extremist. Imagine the hatred being spread in these movies, and the violence that they will inspire Israeli Jews to inflict on innocent Palestinians, their only outlet for this type of hate-filled propaganda. Quote, Jewish torture porn. It's almost a deep sexual satisfaction of wanting to beat Nazis to death, an orgasmic feeling. My parents are very strong about Holocaust education. Eli Roth, kingpin of the torture porn genre, Jewish Zionist actor, writer, director, referring to Inglourious Basterds. Roth won awards for Hostel by Hollywood Zionist elite, who praise him for his work in most Jewish-owned celebrity magazines. Hostel was a movie that made me quit movies for a while. Quote, Schindler's List, winner of 7 Academy Awards, seen by millions and used as a teaching tool since it appeared in 1993, today it seems that films about the Holocaust and events surrounding it abound. Almost with a bizarre regularity, they reach the big screen in twos or threes, putting a new twist on the Holocaust genre. For a new time and a new audience was none other than the renowned filmmaker Quentin Tarantino. While he opens his Inglourious Basterds with a scene repeated untold times during the Holocaust, a Jewish family hidden by a Christian family is discovered by a Nazi commandant and executed. The film morphs into an allegory about good and evil and the no-holds-barred efforts to defeat the evil personified by Hitler, his henchmen, and his Nazi regime, employing drama, comedy, and romance. With the quintessential Quentin Tarantino touch, the film is entertaining yet thought-provoking. Hopefully the millions who see it will understand the horrors of the Holocaust and echo my view of if only it were true. Like its predecessors, Schindler's List and Life is Beautiful, Inglourious Bastards should be recognized with an Academy Award. That was, again, Abe Boxman, National Director of the Anti-Defamation League, The Huffington Post Online, February 18, 2010. Apparently, violence, horror, torture, and bloodletting of non-Jews is not considered defamation, according to the Anti-Defamation League. Inglourious Basterds was nominated for 8 Academy Award nominations. This is more or as many as some of the greatest films ever made: Gone with the Wind, Ben-Hur, Titanic, The Lord of the Rings, Inglourious Basterds. One of these doesn't fit. That is, unless you are a Jewish Zionist who loves torture porn and are the one doing the judging. Okay, but surely they don't control our government. I mean, come on. Quote, "You know very well, and the stupid Americans know equally well, that we control their government, irrespective of who sits in the White House. You see, I know it, and you know it, that no American president can be in a position to challenge us even if we do the unthinkable. What can they, Americans, do to us? We control Congress, we control the media, we control showbiz, and we control everything in America. In America, you can criticize God, but you can't criticize Israel." Israeli spokeswoman Zipporah Menash. Quote, "Future historians will record that the Jews replaced the old Protestant elite who had run the city of New York until their power was finally shattered by the cultural metamorphosis of 1968. Jewish writer David Samuels, New York Magazine. Quote, "For perhaps another generation, an optimistic forecast, the Jewish community is thus in a position where it will be able to divide and conquer Americans and Christians and enter into selective coalitions that support our agenda." Unquote. Jewish Zionist Stefan Steinleit, former head of national affairs for the American Jewish Committee, AJC, the most powerful Jewish organization in America. And now to idiot savant George W. Bush. Quote, "Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda. But it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated." Let me just pause here and say, hey, asshole, what about Israel? Quote, "Americans are asking, why do they hate us? They hate what they see right here in this congressional chamber, a democratically elected government." Oh, sorry again, but shouldn't we be electing our president in a republic form of government as per the constitution you pretend to follow, as opposed to the communist platform of democracy? Quote, "Their leaders are self-appointed." Damn, Bush Jr., you make it really hard not to interrupt. Didn't you appoint all of our real leaders during your term, most of them Israeli Zionist Jews with dual citizenship, about 32 of them in fact, including your Chief of Staff, Secretary of Defense, Treasury Secretary, Secretary of State, Supreme Court Justices, etc., etc., etc.? Quote, "They hate our freedoms, our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, our freedom to vote, rigged, and assemble, by permit, and disagree, without hate speech, with each other." That was crookedly and unconstitutionally elected President of the United States Corporation, George W. Bush, September 20th, 2001, addressing a joint session of Zionist-controlled Congress and also the American people through the Zionist-controlled media. Ah, Bush. Quote, "If the attackers simply hated freedom, why did they not attack Switzerland or Iceland, the oldest democracies on earth? The primary motivation of those who attack us is because the American government supports Israel's conquest, ethnic cleansing, occupation, torture, and murder of the Palestinian people, as shown in the recent carnage in Gaza. The establishment does not want the American people to understand this." Former Louisiana Representative David Duke about 9/11 and who was responsible. Naturally, David Duke is labeled anti-Semitic. Quote, between 50% and 70% of political campaign contributions for president come from Jewish sources. Washington Post, January 21, 1993. Quote, in presidential elections, Democratic candidates depend on Jewish supporters to supply as many as 60% of the money raised from private sources. Washington Post, March 13, 2003. And a major source of Republican funds come from the same sources. For instance, Democratic President Obama's top presidential campaign contributors were Jewish Zionist-owned Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase was third, and Citigroup, or Citibank, was fifth. Interestingly, Republican McCain's top presidential campaign contributors were also Merrill Lynch at number one, Citigroup at number two, Goldman Sachs at number three, Morgan Stanley at number four, and J.P. Morgan Chase at number six. So we must ask why the same Zionist Jewish-controlled banks are supporting both sides of the political spectrum. The answer is simple. To buy a presidential candidate whom will then appoint tens and hundreds of unelected officials to his cabinet, ensuring a Zionist Jewish-run American government without any representatives of the actual American population. Throughout history, bankers have been funding governments and wars on both sides. This ensures compliance with the money masters, the international banking elite. This represents a complete takeover of American foreign policy, and indeed, politics and the government itself, by Jewish Zionist extremists and those who support them, either willingly or because they have to be in politics without being ostracized by the Zionist-run media. Quote, we the Jewish people control America, unquote, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Quote, the most powerful lobby in the United States Congress is AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Now get that. Doesn't it seem odd that the most powerful lobby in our U.S. Congress is for a foreign country? David Duke, former U.S. House of Representatives, Louisiana. Quote, the United States has no longer a government of goyim, or non-Jews. In the National Security Council, 7 out of 11 top staffers are Jews. Clinton had especially placed them in the most sensitive junctions in the U.S. security and foreign administrations. Major Israeli Daily, Mertiv, September 2, 1994, article entitled, The Jews Who Run Clinton's Court. Quote, foreign policy gets very complicated. When you take certain actions to support a friend, the security of Israel, as we did, it has consequences. No question about it. And that was Lee H. Hamilton, 9/11 Commission member, about U.S.-Israel foreign policy relating to 9/11. Quote, the only two non-Jews in the communist conspiracy were Chambers and Hiss. Every other one was a Jew, and it raised hell with us. President Richard Nixon, 1971, White House tapes released by the National Archives in 1999, i.e. Whitaker Chambers and Alger Hiss. Reference in New York Times, October 7, 1999, and Newsweek, October 18, 1999, page 30. And let's not forget who runs our country through the manipulation and control of the American dollar. Chairman Ben Shalom Bernanke and Vice Chairman Donald Cohn, as well as former Chairman Alan Greenspan, are all extreme Zionist Jews. And remember, they are the ones deciding which of the Zionist and the few non-Zionist-controlled banks get the bailout money from the American taxpayers. This bailout is nothing more than theft and a consolidation effort of the world's international Zionist banks. Zionists giving American money to Zionists. Forced equality. The New York Times has been a powerful and influential newspaper for 114 years, perhaps the most powerful. Though it was founded in the 1850s by Americans of white European descent, it has had a succession of all Zionist Jewish owners and CEOs since 1896, as follows. Adolf Ox, Arthur Sulzberger, Orville Dreyfus, A.O. Sulzberger, and Arthur Sulzberger, Jr. So much for equal opportunity or fair and balanced reporting, eh? Headline, quote, New York Times pays execs extra to hire minorities and women instead of white guys, unquote. Story, quote, another fun fact from the New York Times proxy, senior executives can get an extra bonus for hiring minorities and women instead of white guys. The compensation committee also retained the discretion to increase or decrease the individual component of the total bonus paid to each executive by up to 10% based on the continuing development of a diverse workforce, including the inclusion of diverse candidates in hiring processes and the demonstration of personal commitment to diversity through participation in diversity-related activities, such as mentoring and sponsorship of affinity groups. Business Insider, The Wire. Quote, The New York Times revealed a bizarre bonus for hiring minorities, a bonus structure designed to diversify the workforce. By rewarding executives who hire minorities, Regional Media Group CEO Michael Golden received an extra 5% through this structure. Huffington Post. Quote, God gave you your skin color, so why not use it to your advantage? Unquote. The Reverend Jesse Jackson about affirmative action and civil rights laws. Okay, I know he's not Jewish, but he supports the racist bills perpetuated by Zionists, which allow less qualified minorities to get a job or promotion over the most qualified applicant, regardless of race or color, while subverting the black populace in America by making education less of a priority. In other words, the same Zionists who have purposefully subverted and dumbed down the public school system are destroying the need and will to get an education for the black minority, while making whites in America wonder, what good is an education with quota laws? A political reverend without a congregation or a church should really not be trusted, and that goes for all evangelists, white or black. With the Los Angeles Parking Police Department being a private corporation based out of New York City, which hires minorities only with no constitutional oath or police training, the inequity of forced equality is just another subversive tactic to destroy our country's pride, productivity, education, and work ethic. One must look at who supports these affirmative action laws, a Zionist-infiltrated U.S. government, and a Fortune 500 base of corporations that are Zionist-owned, operated, beholden, or influenced. Affirmative action is not a civil rights tool used to benefit minorities, but a tool of absolute manipulation and destruction of American society. It is neither constitutional, i.e. all men are created equal, nor democratic, i.e. majority rules. Some other Israeli thoughts on war, murder, Gentiles, Arabs, and Palestine. Quote, Jews, he himself, doesn't believe in Western morality. The only way to fight a moral war is the Jewish way. Destroy their holy sites, kill men, women, and children, and cattle. Manus Friedman, famous Jewish rabbi. Even the best of the non-Jews should all be killed. Quote, Israel tortures at least 500 Palestinians a month, or 6,000 per year. Paraphrase, Jewish Alan Greenberg, New York Times. Quote, almost 50% of Palestinian detainees who were arrested in raids or at random were beaten by the army or police before they were handed over to the Shin Bet for interrogation. The prisoners were interrogated for 5 to 10 hours a day for an average of 35 days and spent most of their time in tiny cells in solitary confinement. They were effectively starved, and their only exercise was the walk from the cell to the interrogation room, during which they were shackled, handcuffed, and blindfolded. Report compiled by Israeli human rights group B'Tselem. This might explain the Zionist-influenced U.S. military doctrine of torture utilized on Arab prisoners in American prison camps like Abu Ghraib, which are blatant war crimes and completely against Geneva Conventions. There was a time when America was idealistically and morally opposed to these tactics, but now America is under Zionist rule. Quote, I will confess it, at least, like thousands of other typical Jewish kids of my generation, I was reared as a Jewish nationalist, even a quasi-separatist, and he was raised in America. Every summer, for 2 months, for 10 formative years during my childhood and adolescence, I attended a Jewish summer camp. There, each morning, I saluted a foreign flag, dressed in a uniform reflecting its colors, sang a foreign national anthem, learned a foreign language, learned foreign folk songs and dances, and was taught that Israel was the true homeland for American Jews. I was taught the superiority of my people to the Gentiles who had oppressed us. We were taught to view non-Jews as untrustworthy outsiders, people from whom sudden gusts of hatred might be anticipated, people less sensitive, intelligent, and moral than ourselves. We were also taught that the lesson of our dark history is that we could rely on no one. Jewish Zionist Stephen Steinleit, former head of National Affairs for the American Jewish Committee, AJC, and most powerful Jewish organization in America. So what can we, the 98% Gentiles and 1.9% Jews, do? Boycott Zionist Israel and the corporations that support it. But in order to give you an idea of what a boycott of Israel and Zionism would entail, here are some of the deeply ingrained corporations that most of us take for granted, which are run by and supported by Israel and or Zionist sympathizers. On the internet, Google, YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, Wikipedia, or as I like to call it, do-it-yourself history, Yahoo, eBay, and many, many others. Estee Lauder. Ronald Lauder, the billionaire Estee Lauder cosmetics magnate, was the chairman of New York Governor George Pataki's Commission on Privatization. He is the key individual who lobbied for the privatization of the World Trade Center and also got the former Stewart Air Force Base to become privatized. Oddly, but probably not coincidentally, the flight paths of Flight 175 and Flight 11 converged directly over this airport on 9/11. Zionist Jew Ronald Lauder is active in the following organizations: Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, Jewish National Fund, World Jewish Congress, American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, Anti-Defamation League, and the Jewish Theological Seminary. Ronald Lauder was elected president of the World Jewish Congress on June 10, 2007. Lauder founded a school for the Mossad in Herzliya, for which Israel called the Lauder School of Government Diplomacy and Strategy. He is the key seon involved in the preparation of 9/11. A seon is a Hebrew helper or assistant. It is a term used to describe a network of Jews living outside of Israel who volunteer to provide assistance to the Israeli Mossad intelligence agency. AOL Time Warner. AOL allocates 30% of its investment portfolio to Israel. Quote, "We would also challenge them to consider that AOL allocates 30% of its investment portfolio in Israel. Does that affect how CNN reports the Israeli-Palestine conflict? At Nile Media, we think it does. The spin wizards at CNN, Time, and AOL are not in the journalism business." Nile Media. In 1998, Mr. Ted Leonis, CEO of AOL Studios, a business unit of AOL, received the Jubilee Award by the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. "This is the highest tribute ever awarded by the State of Israel in recognition of those individuals and organizations that, through their investments and trade relationships, have done the most to strengthen the Israeli economy." Starbucks coffee. Howard Schultz, the chairman of Starbucks, is an active Zionist. In 1998, he was honored by the Jerusalem Fund of Aish HaTorah with the Israel 50th Anniversary Friend of Zion Tribute Award for his services to the Zionist state in playing a key role in promoting close alliance between the United States and Israel. Quote, "I congratulate Aish HaTorah for what they are doing, where they are doing it, and for whom they are doing it." Unquote. The Jerusalem Fund of Aish HaTorah sponsors Israeli military arms fairs chaired by the Butcher of Jenin, General Shaul Mafatz, Israel's Minister of Defense. It aims to strengthen the special connection between the American, European, and Israeli defense industries, and to showcase the newest Israeli innovations in defense, it produces pro-Zionist propaganda material for Israel. Starbucks equals Star of David plus dollars equals dollars for Israel. The Coca-Cola Company and its over 3,000 beverages. From 1966, Coca-Cola has been a staunch supporter of Israel. In 1997, the Government of Israel Economic Mission honored Coca-Cola at the Israel Trade Award Dinner for its continued support of Israel for the last 30 years and for refusing to abide by the Arab League boycott of Israel. Every year, Coca-Cola bankrolls the American Israel Chamber of Commerce Awards, which honors companies that have contributed most to the Israeli economy. In 2009, a Coca-Cola-sponsored award went to Israel's lobby, AIPAC, for its lobbying of the Senate to reject a UN call for immediate ceasefire and endorse the continuation of the Israel military assault on Gaza. In 2008, Coca-Cola tasked the Israeli Venture Capital Challenge Fund to locate suitable investments in Israel with a promise of a blank check. This agreement is exceptional in the Israeli venture capital industry. In September 2009, Coca-Cola hosted a special reception at the Coca-Cola World Headquarters to honor Brigadier General Binyamin Ben-Elizer, Israel's ex-Minister of Defense, currently Minister of Industry, Trade, and Labor. Brigadier General Binyamin Ben-Elizer is a wanted war criminal. According to Dr. Arya Yitzhaki, a mainstream Israeli military historian, the IDF killed around 1,000 Egyptian POWs during the Six-Day War. Ben-Elizer's Shaked unit was responsible for one-third of those murders. This is all to say nothing of the ecological and water depletion problems Coca-Cola causes in third-world countries, leading to crop failure and livestock and human malnutrition and starvation. Another top movie on my list explaining water supply and depletion for profit at the expense of the local people is called Flow. And once again, it is a must-watch. See it here. The Disney Corporation, including Pixar, Marvel, and its theme parks. Robert Allen Bob Iger, president and CEO of Disney, is a Zionist Jew. He was named president of the company in 2000 and later succeeded Zionist Jew Michael Eisner as chief executive in 2005. Iger oversaw the acquisitions of Pixar in 2006 and of Marvel Entertainment in 2009. Walt Disney's Millennium Exhibition at the Epcot Center in Florida depicts Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Jerusalem is an illegally occupied city according to international law, UN Resolution 242, 237, and 405, and can never be the capital of Israel. Of the $8 million it cost to set up the Epcot exhibition, Israel contributed $1.8 million and worked with Disney to develop its content. This is part of Israel's campaign to physically Judaize Jerusalem and mentally condition the world into accepting its claim over Jerusalem. Interestingly, Walt Disney was known to be an anti-Zionist. McDonald's restaurants. Zionist Jack M. Greenberg, chairman and CEO of McDonald's, is an honorary director of the American Israel Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Incorporated, of Metropolitan Chicago. According to the Chicago Jewish Community Online, website of the Jewish United Fund of Metropolitan Chicago, McDonald's Corporation, whose legal global headquarters is based just outside of Chicago, is a major corporate partner of the Jewish United Fund and Jewish Federation. Through its Israel Commission, the Jewish United Fund, quote, works to maintain American military, economic, and diplomatic support for Israel, monitors, and when necessary, responds to media coverage of Israel, unquote. In the Jewish United Fund's outreach program, they pay for Christian leaders and American high school kids to visit Israel and be fed Zionist lies. McDonald's entered the Israeli market in 1993 and now has 80 restaurants across Israel, providing employment to some 3,000 Israelis. Home Depot. Bernard Marcus, founder and co-chairman of the board, is an active Zionist. He is on the board of directors of Emmet, the pro-Israeli media war room, whose function is to ensure that all media in the U.S. stays biased in favor of Israel. Quote, a group of American business and political leaders are building a pro-Israel media war room in Washington, D.C. The group will be called Emet, which in Hebrew means truth. Emet will try to address biased media coverage of the Israeli-Palestine conflict and also make the case that the conflict, while serious and important, pales in comparison to the larger geostrategic threat posed to the United States and the West by Iran and Iraq, both of whom are trying to build and or acquire weapons of mass destruction, a blatant lie. Funding Emet is Leonard Abramson. He sold U.S. healthcare to Aetna in the mid-1990s for $8.9 billion. Abramson has recruited a powerful board of directors, including Bernie Marcus, founder of Home Depot, Les Wexner, founder of The Limited, Edgar Bronfman Sr., who once owned Seagram's, and Lou Ranieri, a major Wall Street player who now co-owns one of Israel's largest banks. Also joining the board are Jean Kirkpatrick, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., and Jack Kemp, unquote. The News Corporation, which is Fox News, Sky TV Network, National Geographic, The Wall Street Journal, The Sun, The Times, The New York Post, and on and on and on. Extreme Zionist and purported Jew and propaganda master Rupert Murdoch is the world's leading publisher of English-language newspapers, and its diversified global operations include the production and distribution of motion pictures and television programming, television, satellite, and cable broadcasting, the publication of newspapers, magazines, and books, the production and distribution of promotional and advertising products and services, and the development of digital broadcasting. The company publishes more than 175 different newspapers, the same news from the same source. News Corp invests heavily in Israel and was one of three U.S. companies that was praised for their support of Israel at the America-Israel Friendship League Partners for Democracy Awards dinner, June 25, 2001. Murdoch himself co-chaired the dinner. The Intel Corporation. Intel is one of the biggest supporters of Israel. Their very first development center outside of the U.S. was opened in Haifa in 1974. Since then, they have continued pouring investment into Israel. By year 2000, they employ over 4,000 Israelis. Exports from their Lachish Kiryat Gat plant in Israel, opened in February 1999, total 3 million a day at peak capacity, or approximately 1 billion a year. Al-Auda, Palestine Right to Return Coalition, have pointed out that the Intel plant at Kiryat Gat is built on land Israel confiscated from Palestinian villages of Iraq al-Manshia. Iraq al-Manshia was a village of 2,000 people living in 300 houses with two mosques and one school. The original Palestinian inhabitants were terrorized out of the village, and then the whole village was razed to the ground to prepare the way for the new Israeli settlement of Kiryat Gat. Today, the remaining population from Iraq al-Manshia is still not allowed to return. Legal action against Intel for building on looted land is being considered. Intel's investments in apartheid education in Israel. Quote, Intel invests in the promotion of higher education in Israel. In addition to scholarships for students, it allocates considerable resources to funding research and purchasing laboratory equipment. Source here. A boycott of Intel would probably mean not using or buying the computer you are using to read this, and having to build one yourself with anti-Zionist chips. Motherboards, adapters, controllers, network products, wireless components, embedded products, and finally, buying software that wasn't developed on any of Intel's software development tools. Good luck with that. IBM. IBM invests heavily in Israel. Lawrence Ricciardi, IBM's senior vice president and general counsel, who noted that his company employs 1,700 people in Israel, said in an interview with the Jerusalem Post, quote, this wedge of land and the huge ideals it represents are very important to IBM, unquote. IBM was one of three U.S. companies that was praised at the America-Israel Friendship League Partners for Democracy Awards dinner, June 25, 2001, hosted by Sharon. In May 2002, the Israel-America Chamber of Commerce awarded IBM the Ambassador's Award, quote, in recognition of its outstanding contribution to the development of the Israel high-tech industry and to advancing trade between the U.S. and Israel. Now, this is almost humorous when one considers that IBM is quite famous for knowingly manufacturing the hole punch cards and punching machines used by the Nazis in the World War II labor camps to document and keep track of their Jewish prisoners. This would be like creating barcode tattoos for today's FEMA prison camps. Quote, don't tell us what you're doing and don't ask us any questions, unquote. Cable message to all of IBM's European subsidiaries, October 1941, as sudden new trading with the enemy regulations were about to go into force as America was about to enter the war. Quote, the fact that Hollerith equipment manufactured by IBM's general unit, De Hamburg, was used by the Nazi administration has long been known and is not new information. This information was published in 1997 in the IEEE Annals of the History of Computing and in 1998 in Washington Jewish Week. IBM representative Carol Makovich, writing in an email interview by Edwin Black while researching his book IBM and the Holocaust. Danone, or Danon. In 1998, Mr. Frank Rabode, on behalf of Danone, received the Jubilee Award by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. This is the highest tribute ever awarded by the State of Israel in recognition of those individuals and organizations that, through their investments and trade relationships, have done the most to strengthen the Israeli economy. The Danone Institute, an R&D facility, was established in Israel in July of 1998. In order to boycott Danone or Danon, you would have to stop eating their yogurt and other dairy products or anything from Strauss Dairy, all of HP Foods, including Lee and Perrin sauces, and Evian and Volvic bottled water, among other things. Nestle. This Swiss company owns 50.1% of Israeli food maker Osam Investments. In December of 2000, Nestle announced that it will invest millions of dollars to operate the new R&D center in Israel. In 1998, Mr. Peter Brabeck Letmath, on behalf of Nestle, received the Jubilee Award by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. This is the highest tribute ever awarded by the State of Israel in recognition of those individuals and organizations that, through their investments and trade relationships, have done the most to strengthen the Israeli economy. You see the cycle here. To boycott Nestle would be extremely difficult. You'd have to stop using L'Oreal products. It would mean no more Kit Kats, Baby Ruths, or Butterfingers, no Nesquik or Nescafe for breakfast, no sweets or cookies from Libby's, no Carnation products of any kind, no Buitoni oils, pastas, or sauces, and then there's the bottled water products. Arrowhead, Poland Spring, Perrier, and San Pellegrino. Perrier's competitor... Calistoga, San Pellegrino's competitor, Crystal Geyser, Ice Mountain, Zephyr Hills, Ozarka, Pure Life, Pureza Vital, Deer Park, Aquapod, Nestle brand, and others. Essentially, all bottled water brands are Zionist Israel friendly. And why not? They are selling something that flows freely to a bunch of us nincompoops who pay top dollar for somewhat filtered tap water. This is usury. To the extreme. Now, I could go on, but it would just make you feel more helpless and totally dependent on Zionist and Israel-supporting products and services. Oh, what the hell. Here is a short and quite incomplete list. Porn. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, HBO, CNN, MSNBC, Hollywood. All mainstream media, movie, and newspaper outlets. Caterpillar. Estee Lauder, Johnson & Johnson, Revlon, Kimberly-Clark, which is Kleenex and Huggies, Apex Partners, Johnny Rockets and the Sunglass Hut, Delta Galil, Barbie, Victoria's Secret, Gap, Banana Republic, Structure, J. Crew, JCPenney, DKNY, Ralph Lauren, Hugo Boss, and others, Timberland, Siemens, Sara Lee, oh, not the cookies, The Limited, Nokia, Motorola, AT&T, and most phone companies for that matter, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, oh heck, let's just say all major banks, shall we? Chevron, BP, Exxon, okay, I suppose all of the major oil companies as well. No driving. Oh. And I suppose if I did the research, most pharmaceuticals would be on the list as well, considering Bayer Corporation was imported from the Nazi conglomerate corporation IG Farben, for which the Zionists handed over the Jews to its forced labor camps, not death camps. Oh, does that surprise you? Well, blaming Hitler for all the bad things of World War II is like blaming Bush for 9/11. It's what you are supposed to do so that you don't see the truth about who really did the dirty deeds. Leaders and presidents are pawns. And how about anything supported by the United States government, the biggest corporation in the world, which wholeheartedly supports Israel no matter what Israel does to terrorize America? Boycotting the government. Well, that's a game changer if there ever was one. The real question is, are we strong enough as a people to stop participating in the corporate stranglehold that supports death and destruction around the world? Can you grow and cook your own food, drink water from the tap, dig a well or filter it from a stream, chop down your own trees to build your own house without permits, stop paying taxes that go to support Israel and the Zionist genocide of Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and soon to be Iran and Egypt? Not to mention the Zionist-owned central bank, the Federal Reserve. Turn off the porn and go and make love to your lover or spouse, and smash your TV and go out into this beautiful world and make your own entertainment. Well, my best idea is just that. Let's all boycott these damn Zionists in our government that have our country in a stranglehold. No more paying them taxes, no more citations for disobeying their petty statutes and legalities, no more fines or fees or luxury taxes, no more fraudulent voting on rigged machines, and no more loyalty to the United States corporation, but instead to the now-dead Constitution, just waiting to be reborn in modern glory. Let's declare sovereignty from the Zionist-held U.S. Incorporated. Now, how about that for a boycott? Let's start kicking out of the country all unelected officials with dual citizenship with America and Israel, but not dual loyalty to American interests. A grand jury ought to do the trick. That's right, Mr. Rahm Emanuel, son of an Israeli terrorist, Obama's chief of staff, and second most powerful man in America. You are on the Zionist shit list. And then we should review the loyalties and constitutionality of our past and present elected officials and recheck the voting machines and count to ensure they got elected honestly and then dissemble the Diebold Company and others like it from the top down. And then we should destroy all voting machines in a glorious celebration of freedom from technological tyranny, making it a recurring yearly holiday right after the Great Purging Day, the day we purged the Zionists and anyone who supports them from our government and from our land, like so many civilizations and empires before us. No, not a Holocaust, just a swift kick in the ass and an advisement to not let the door hit their Zionist butts on the way back to Khazarian Israel, occupied Palestine, or wherever they claim to call home. Without weapons and money from America, they'll be homeless, like their Palestinian victims. And then, let's support Palestine in its efforts to rebuild and reestablish its homeland that we Americans have idly stood by and let our Zionist megalomaniacs in government financially support the stealing of and the genocide of its beautiful peoples, to the tune of more than $10,000 per taxpayer in America. Perhaps Israelis can live in 9% of the Palestinian land and not travel on Palestinian roads and see how they like it. So why did I write this essay? A few years ago, I went to see Al Gore's The Inconvenient Truth. And it had such an impact on my emotional character that the pure rubbish and lies it entailed were completely hidden from my usually logical, reasonable disposition. Thus, I had went around and recommended this propaganda movie to everyone I know, stating in hindsight, quite embarrassingly, things like, "This is the most important movie ever made," and "This should be required viewing for everyone, everywhere." Needless to say, once I came down from my emotionally induced state of save the planet, and did a couple of weeks of real research, I kicked myself when I found out that Al Gore was in the carbon trading business as co-founder of his own carbon trading company, that the famous tear-jerking polar bear picture portraying the stranded polar bear on a lone melting little iceberg in what seemed to be the middle of the ocean was in fact a cropped picture just a mile or so offshore, and that polar bears can swim over 100 miles without even breaking a sweat, and that the polar bear population had actually grown since the earlier 1900s from endangered at about 5,000 to well over 25,000 in modern times thanks to real conservation methods over several decades. And now, as I finish writing this, I realize that the emotionally driven roller coaster had happened once before in my life, for another movie in which lies and falsified history were rolled up into one powerful propaganda piece that changed my whole outlook on the Holocaust, and actually made me sympathetic and accepting to the concept of reparations to Israel and that all whites should be guilty for some insane reason over what the German people supposedly did to the Jews in the Holocaust. That movie was the famous Schindler's List. The true story of Schindler and of his list of 1,300 Jews to be saved came from his wife, who called Steven Spielberg an all-out liar and that his film was packed with lies at a presentation of her autobiographical book, and indicated that her husband Oscar was a selfish, greedy man. Quote, Spielberg's film portrays Oscar as a hero of this country. That is not true. Neither he nor I were heroes. We were just doing what we were able to be. In war, we were all souls without a destiny. Emily Schindler, Memoirs. Quote, they say in that book, Keneally's Schindler's List, that I gave the Jews food in their mouths. I never had time to find out who was sick and who had to be fed by hand. I am no good as a nurse, I tell you frankly. I have no talent for nursing. I bought the food for everyone. Emily Schindler. Quote, Schindler was a drunkard. Schindler was a womanizer. His relations with his wife were bad. He often had not one but several girlfriends. Everything he did put him in jeopardy. If Schindler had been a normal man, he would not have done what he did. Moshe Betsky, one of the Jews in Schindler's factory, which he saved to be a cheap laborer and for no other reason. Quote, there was never a Schindler's List. It was drawn up by a man called Goldman. This man took money to put a name on that list. No money, no place on the list. I was told this by Dr. Schwartz in Vienna. He had paid in diamonds to save his wife. Emily Schindler. Emily Schindler Memoirs portrays her husband Oscar as a greedy man whose interest in saving Polish Jews from Adolf Hitler's death camps was to have cheap labor for his factory. She also purports that without his factory running, Oscar Schindler would have been drafted to the SS and sent to the front lines. For remember, Schindler was a Nazi who entertained Nazis on a constant basis in his wealthy home. How else do you keep a good thing going but by wining and dining your superiors? Quote, what matters now is being able to take our people somewhere else so that we can continue to work. Emily Schindler. Again, the point must be made that no person and no race is above corruption. Only a few brave individuals, of which the Schindler family were not. Quote, what does he know about my life? Absolutely nothing. Emily Schindler, referring to Spielberg. Quote, Steven Spielberg only gave me $50,000 for making a film about the Holocaust and my husband, and he never asked me permission. He just did it. Emily Schindler, Drudge, June 1st, 1999. There is so much more information that should be included within this essay, such as the Jewish Zionist President of France, Nicolas Sarkozy, recently preaching forced diversity, threatening French ethnically European white citizens that if they don't begin to intermarry with other races, harsher government action will be required to force it to happen. Nicolas Sarkozy also plans on, quote, giving preference to minorities in job hiring and prosecuting those who do not comply, unquote. In other words, affirmative action, which is neither civil nor equal rights, as a government policy is being implemented with military-style enforcement from which none are exempt. And this Zionist fervor is happening all over the world. Quote, they, Jews, control America, no matter which government comes into power, whether Republican or Democrat, whether Barack Obama or George Bush, their control of America, just like the control of most Western countries, is in the hands of Jewish money, and if Jewish money controls their country, then you cannot expect anything else. Fatima Hajjag, Deputy Foreign Minister of South Africa, in a speech at a Palestine solidarity rally. She later apologized, saying she, quote, meant to say Zionists, not Jews, unquote. And now, the South African Zionist lobby and propaganda machine in response. Quote, there has not been any realistic alternative, not since the era of pro-Nazi nationalist MPs more than half a century ago had such statements been made against Jews by a senior South African government official. Unquote. Zev Kringle, Jewish Board of Deputies, in response to the Fatima Hajjag comment. Though true, the comments are dismissed as racism once again, without saying they are untrue. Quote, the Jewish community is outraged by such a public display of bigotry by a senior government representative. As South African citizens, we cannot allow this kind of comment to be brought into this country. Wendy Kahn, Jewish Board of Deputies, in response to the Fatima Hajjag comment. While never denouncing the comments as untrue, she described the comments as classic anti-Jewish stereotyping and conspiracy theory mongering, and that comments like these are used by anti-Jewish hate groups to portray Jews as scheming, manipulative, and disloyal to the countries in which they lived. But she meant to say Zionists. White genocide is a term I couldn't even imagine a few years ago, but is in fact now close to a reality in Africa as chants and songs of killing the Abu Bula, older tribal term for white Dutch settlers, are sung with passion and anger. But the unknown aspect is that the references in these songs and chants are supporting the good Communist Party and Jewish Zionist Joe Slovo, who posed in pictures with Nelson Mandela under the flag of communism, and who was the main Jewish Zionist anti-Christian and anti-white advocate in South Africa. Of course, most don't know that Nelson Mandela, despite his hero status and peace prize, was an avid supporter of terrorist bombings of men, women, and children. And while the black citizens in America are trained from birth through the Zionist media and movies to have the opinion that whites do not deserve civil rights, that white is not a color, that the white devil is the reason for the plight of American black and Mexican history, and that it is somehow us, blacks, against them, non-blacks, and even while blacks in Africa continue in a tradition of 10,000 years of keeping and selling other black slaves, the American value of human rights and human life, that all men are created equal, regardless of color, seems to have been swept away with the Constitution that declared it, and replaced by Zionist ideals of racial ethnic cleansing, perpetual civil war, hate, and genocide. Quote, South Africa, black rage with repression, a challenge for U.S. policy. Time magazine cover. Quote, the murder rate of the white Boer farmers is about 4 times as high as it is for the rest of the population. There is a motive of hatred, that these are hate crimes, that people are tortured, murdered in ways that are dehumanizing. Dr. Gregory Stanton, president of Genocide Watch. Over 35,000 whites, many farmers in South Africa, have been murdered in what is being alluded to by many as a white genocide. But these white Christians are not just being murdered, but mutilated, raped, tortured, chopped up, tied up, torn to pieces, and killed in the most horrific of ways. Not coincidentally, just like in a Jewish torture porn. Quote, Genocide Watch does not believe that South Africa has reached the stage of actual genocide, stage 7 on our 8-stage scale. We believe that hate crimes against whites, particularly Boer farmers, place South Africa at stage 5, the polarization stage that precedes genocide. Many situations of polarization do not finally result in genocide if preventative steps are taken to stop the genocidal process. However, we are concerned that if recent racist statements to kill the Boer by the president of the African National Congress Youth League, Julius Malema, are not repudiated by top ANC leaders, and if he is not disciplined and blocked in his intention to increase his power, the situation in South Africa will worsen and Genocide Watch will raise the warning level to stage 6, preparation for genocide. Genocide Watch, May 2010, Dr. Gregory Stanton, president of Genocide Watch. Julius Malema was charged with hate crimes in March of 2010. At one time in the South African cities built by the white Boers, millions of black Africans came for jobs, education, hospitals, and other services, with only a 5% unemployment rate for blacks, better rates than the United States. But then in 1994, the African National Congress, or ANC, became South Africa's governing left-wing, non-racial democratic party, supported by its unholy trinity of a Zionist alliance with the Congress of South African Trade Unions, COSATU, and the South African Communist Party, SACP. The African National Congress became the ANC in 1923 and formed a military wing, the Umkhonto we Sizwe, Spear of the Nation, in 1961. The ANC is a member of Socialist International, a worldwide organization of democratic socialist, social democratic, socialist, and labor political parties. Remember, all isms are communism, and democracy is part of the communist platform. It was formed in 1951 with Zionist Joe Slovo as chief of staff. Before the ANC took over in 1994, South Africa was one of the safest nations in Africa for blacks and whites. Now it is the murder and rape capital of the world, with 50% unemployment rates. Apartheid fell in grand world celebration by people and cultures who had no idea what they were celebrating. The poisonous Zionist stake through the heart of South Africa's people and leaders. But in the same year that apartheid fell, the genocide of over 800,000 Tutsis in Rwanda by the Hutus began. Black ethnic, black-on-black genocides then began all over the continent, in Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, Chad, Congo, Somalia, Angola, Liberia, Botswana, Mali, Mozambique, and many others. Over and over, the once stable countries of the world have become subject to Zionist communist ideals, hate and subversion branded as democracy. And with the United States being used as the military arm to do the bidding of the Zionist elite, any nation is susceptible to having a new government forced down its throat, while American citizens are made to believe that this is just democracy at work. Terrorism works well as a tool for democracy. Now, one last bit of information that I've always especially wanted for women to know. Quote, common sense tells us that the only way to increase the value of diamonds is to make them scarce, that is, to reduce production. Cecil Rhodes, founder of De Beers Mining, who received funding for which De Beers is now owned by the founding Zionist Rothschild family. Quote, our only risk is the sudden discovery of new mines, which human nature will work recklessly to the detriment of us all. Cecil Rhodes, founder of De Beers Mining. Now, to translate these statements for those who are blinded by the diamond sparkle, diamonds are in fact almost worthless as precious jewels, and are in fact so damn prevalent in Africa as to make them all but valueless. Precious simply means the same as rare. And diamonds are about as rare as coal. The diamond business is a scam, and good old Cecil Rhodes knew this all too well in his diamond monopoly, and the villainous Rothschild dynasty has kept that myth going to this day in a multi-billion dollar industry based on a big, fat lie. and that diamond you may have on your finger or around your neck, or just sitting in a dark jewelry box somewhere, that literal rock was mined with the blood of Africans, who are exploited as extremely cheap labor by these Zionist tyrants and corporations. And you paid a markup price of about 60,000%. Laugh out loud. I hope your status in society, jackass, was worth every greedy penny. Imagine the amount of hungry North Africans, and for that matter Americans, that could have been fed with that Zionist blood money you spent on your diamonds. So why did I write this? Simply put, a grand awakening must happen now, or else this world will fall completely into the hands of this tiny, minuscule minority of evil, warmongering, genocidal people who, by their own writings and words, for which you've just read or heard, claim to be chosen masters of us all, and we their cattle. This is not a racial issue, for we are not dealing with a race. We are dealing with the wealthy elite and the brainwashed fools who support and follow them. Good and holy Jews are welcome in my home and in my heart and in my country for all eternity, with the freedom of religion and in pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. However, usury does not and should not have a place anywhere. Now, I have no doubt that I will henceforth be called by some an anti-Semite for trying to expose this information, despite the fact that the majority of these statements weren't even my words, but were said by those who falsely claim to be Semites. And if you've gotten to this point of the story, I hope that you can now comprehend the ridiculousness of this emotionally driven, false racial anti-Semite labeling in lieu of logical discourse. But you know what? That anti-Semite label suddenly seems so much lighter to bear than letting these Zionist bankers, including the Federal Reserve, rip apart our economy and purposefully induce the greatest Grand Depression ever imaginable onto this country and onto the world by continuing to steal all of our wealth and productivity, as well as our pride, our morals, and our values. I hope that you might feel the same way. For inaction will allow this darkness to dominate any light left. Violence is not the answer, and it never will be. Peaceful non-compliance with an unlawful American government full of citizens of Israel and the boycott of corporate Zionist products and services is the answer. The term Buy American must be reinvigorated. The libertarian ideals of limited government and constitutional virtue and civics, morals, and values must be reintroduced into an infrastructure and business structure that has been overtaken by greed and usury. May all of humanity, the only real race, one day live in peace, without this supremacist Zionist foe or any other elitist or monetary enslavement as threats. Please, play this forward. Clint Richardson, Reality Blogger with 1G, .wordpress.com, Thursday, June 10th, 2010.